Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We have been following the story of the, what happened in Syria this week was very, very significant from a number of points. As tension rises along Israel's northern front, the IDF now has publicly admitted that it was unprepared for the chaos at the Syrian border. In a rare moment of maybe institutional reflection, the military did acknowledge that there were operational and intelligence failures related to the infiltration and to the violence of near the Druze village. To help us understand the picture and what it means, where it leaves us going forward, I'm joined by Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch. He's a former director of military prosecution for Judea and Samaria and with the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. Good morning once again. Thank you for joining us. Let's just start with the IDF statement. How significant is it?
So I think, Howard, we have to look at two different areas in this whole story. One is the surprise as to what happened actually in Syria with the forces of apparently, of the new reformed moderate Syrian leader, the ex-Al-Qaeda terrorist, massacring large parts of the Druze population in southern Syria. And that, I think, caught Israel off guard. Israel, as you know, has a very substantial Druze population, and the connections between the two groups are very, very close. It's family members on either side of the border, and there was a lot of pressure for Israel to intervene and to come to the rescue of the Druze who were being massacred. And I think that whole event caught Israel off balance, and a quick decision had to be made as to what exactly we're going to do, how we're going to save the lives of the Druze. I think the other part of the story was then what will, and that's, I think, probably what surprised us even more was really the power of the sentiment of the Druze in Israel and their drive to break through the fence, break through the border with bare hands to go and save their relatives. That's something which I also don't think was anticipated, and truthfully, the IDF was not ready for that. It was not ready to defend the border inwardly. Rather, we're looking outwardly and we're seeing the threats that are coming towards us. But inwardly, I don't think we were ready for that at all.
And I would imagine that it put the IDF or put Israel in a very difficult position, given the loyalty of the Druze community to Israel, the incredibly important role they play in the IDF as well. If Israel is perceived to turn its back on something that this community cares about, it would have, I imagine, or it could have been quite problematic for Israel.
Yeah, without question, the Druze community in Israel is very interesting. There are two groups, I have to say, within the Druze communities. There are the Druze communities that lived in Israel prior to 1967, and their loyalty to Israel is really unquestionable. There are true heroes that have fought in all of the wars of Israel alongside the Jewish population and defending their country. The Druze in the Golan Heights are a little bit different. Many of them refused to take Israeli citizenship, even though they were offered. They don't serve in the army as the rest of the Druze population do. So there is a difference between the two, but really the Druze population, the Druze community as a whole, is seen by Israel as a very positive force within society, within the country. And really, it couldn't be that we would allow the other Druze to be simply massacred, and we would stand by and watch on. That really did put us in a tremendously difficult position, because on the other hand, just running up to this event, we'd seen these voices of reconciliation, possibly even of bringing Syria into the Abraham Accords. It was a very, very stark change from we're almost at peace to we're now at war. That's a very, very quick change.
So if you had to look at it critically, what were the failures and what could be learned from this incident?
So I think there are a number of things. I think as we at the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs have said on a number of occasions, we shouldn't be rushing to embrace Julani, Ahmed al-Ashara, as this great reformer. It's not clear yet that he has shed his terrorist drives and that the people who support him have shed their terrorist drives. And therefore, it needs time to see exactly where he's going and what they're doing. And I think that in this drive for the new Middle East of let's run into the arms of everyone who claims to be a newly found moderate is, I think, something which has to be re-examined. I think we also need to re-examine exactly how we understand the Druze population and their connection to the Syrian Druze. On the one hand, looking internally and how that affects us, we also have to better understand the Syrian Druze and what exactly they're doing. I mean, let's not forget that soon after Ashara came into power, Julani came into power, the two names. He was called Julani. His full name is Ahmed Ashara. It's the same guy. As soon as he came into power, the Syrian Druze declared their allegiance to him, as they often do. And so you have this dissonance between what they are saying, what we think he's doing, where we think he's going, and how that all fits together. And putting that picture isn't necessarily a subject for only military intelligence. And the picture is, I think, much wider and societal and psychological. And all of those need to be taken into account.
Do you think that Israel should now be anticipating further unrest within the Golan Heights and the Syrian area?
So it's hard to really to understand exactly what Ashara is doing. Obviously, we would like to be moving into a situation of peace and expanding the Abraham's Accords, but we can't have a situation where we have a group of crazed jihadists massacring the Druze. So I don't think Ashara was prepared himself either for the level of the backlash, either from Israel or from some limited parts of the international community. And let's face it, most of the people don't care. If there's no Jews, there's no news, as they say. And they couldn't care that Ashara was a massacring the Druze. And it became an issue when Israel got involved. But there was at least a limited international backlash. And one would hope that he would understand that either he sheds entirely and honestly sheds his terrorist jihadi past, or else he's going to end up running a country that again is failed and crippled and is going nowhere. I don't think that's what he had presented.
No, and my interpretation of some of this, his actions is that he is trying to pull this back and not create more of a tense or tension-filled environment with Israel. Maybe it's my reading into it, but I certainly think it appears to me that he's trying to de-escalate it to get back to the road or the path that he was on. Am I misreading it?
No, I think that's exactly the situation. It's not only because of the better relations with Israel.
It's probably got nothing to do with Israel and everything to do with sanctions and U.S. and the U.S. aid. But either way, that seems to be his behavior.
Hey, let's be truthful, Howard. All we want, if we look at Israel's very, very limited interest, what we want to see on our borders are people who aren't massacring anyone, people who aren't preparing to murder us and to destroy Israel. That's what we're trying to get to. And we hope that within the international relations, with our relations with the U.S. and with our relations with our neighbors, we can build that really normalized society rather than continue on with war. It's not getting them anywhere. Mm. It's certainly not getting us anywhere.
Absolutely.
So that I think is definitely the goal.
That is where we leave it, that talking about these issues. That is Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch. Give me your thoughts. 061-895-1019.
This is 101.9 High FM News.
In the headlines, Netanyahu expresses deep regret over a stray missile hitting Gaza's Holy Family Church. Syrian regime forces have begun withdrawing following ceasefire agreement. And organizations to march to the union buildings today demanding President Ramaphosa's resignation. This is 101.9 High FM News. I'm George, your AI news reader. Good morning. Starting with Israel, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu expressed deep regret over a stray missile hitting Gaza's Holy Family Church, killing 3 and injuring 9. Israel is investigating whether a tank shell caused the damage. Pope Leo has condemned the attack and called for an immediate ceasefire, offering spiritual support. Israel reaffirmed its efforts to protect civilians and religious sites, emphasizing that the incident is under review and unintentional damage is regretted. Meanwhile, Syrian regime forces have begun withdrawing from southern Suida after 5 days of intense clashes, Israeli airstrikes, and international pressure. The ceasefire agreement